It's more or less building a legacy and a foundation for my kids, so they have those opportunities present growing up that say I did not. And it's just having that mindset about just trying to accomplish more, bettering yourself, going to lengths that most people won't go. And it's true when they say like there's only 1% of those individuals in the world that are willing to risk it all for really the unknown at that point. Is it really worth going those lengths? Is it really worth risking that? Is it really worth putting yourself underneath that stress? And year one, year two, when I started my company, I probably didn't feel as much as it was worth it, just because the amount of stress that it took on me. Like I was telling you before, there was probably a good 6 to 7 months where I didn't sleep. I was probably crying every other night, and it was just out of the fear of failure. Fear of failing my wife, fear of failing my kids, not sitting out and doing what I said I would do.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow, and I'm almost done. And I told your soul when I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau, and I ain't too close, it's your small goals. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that, a little more cash than it came with. Ready, that cat is out that bag, but I still ask you, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me. I got this, I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both, even do this, word.
Support for the On the Stacks podcast comes from Montage Planning Partners. Partnerships like this make our community a better place to live and work. That's why Montage Planning Partners is proud to support the important work of On the Stacks. When it comes to financial planning, most financial companies ask, what's your salary? At Montage Planning Partners, we ask, what's your story? We know building the right financial plan means looking at more than just money. That's why we start by asking the right questions, listening to what matters most to you, then guiding you every step of the way to help you live the life you want, now and years from now. Plan your financial story with Montage Planning Partners with Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Contact Montage Planning Partners today. Visit montageplanningpartners.com for further information and disclosures. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On the Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com, W-I-L-C-O-P-A.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On the Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Anthony Tallarico, welcome to the On the Stacks podcast.
Bill, pleasure to finally be here, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time coming. And I have been going back and forth in the DMs for a while, so I'm glad you're finally here. We've only known each other from afar for some time now.
Yeah, first time meeting today.
Yeah, yeah. So what was it? How did you discover the show?
So I discovered your show, a buddy of mine, Corey Panettiere.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Shout out to Corey.
He was on your show. I've always wanted to be on a podcast for a minute. It's just like we were talking about before the show, a lot of that smoke and mirror. Like, I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah.
So when I came across yours and I watched his podcast, it was more just like the down to earth, getting to know the individual behind the mic, things of that nature. So that's kind of what turned me on to it. And then following your show, seeing a couple more episodes, it was like, you know, I want to get on there. Like, I think me and this kid could have a vibe together and to the point of my thoughts and things of the nature that you discuss. So I was pretty pumped. So I just literally sent you a DM and I was like, come on, let's do this.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I recognize, like, early on, like when we first connected, is like, you know, we have a lot of similarities, you know, like,
right.
You know, we're both dads, you know, and I know it's like super, super important to you, as absolutely. It is to me. So I feel like we align a lot of that stuff, the entrepreneurship stuff,
yep.
the mindset stuff we were talking about. Yes. You're big in all that too. So I'm looking forward to diving into all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And you know, like I said, even though we just met, I'm excited to learn a little bit about you and kind of where you started. And by the way, like, you do some incredible work.
I appreciate that.
Like, I see this stuff online, and I'm like, I'm big into. I don't know anything about like what you do, but like, right. I can appreciate like the time and all the behind the scenes work, because I'm sure, and I've said this a bazillion times here on my show, but I'm sure it just, as in your world as it is in mine, majority of the work is done behind the scenes that no one sees.
And everybody sees the pretty picture.
Yeah, they see the pretty picture. They see the finished product.
Yep.
And because you're so good at what you do, you also make it look easy. And then people look at it and be like, oh, hey, he could do it, so could I. Which that's true to a degree, but until like you really go to do it and put in the work and realize the sacrifices that you've made for like the last several years of your life to get where you got, like, there's a lot to that. You know?
Oh my God, yeah. I try to tell my clients too that, don't get me wrong, everyone goes into business to make money and better financially set themselves, but when a client comes to me with a compliment on like how good something looks, or just like you did, like that means so much more than the money itself, because that truly shows the appreciation of, you know, what you set out to do, the craft.
Yeah, like you accomplished it.
Right. So there's a greater value towards the compliments than the money itself. So like I said, the money's great, don't get me wrong, but when a client truly hones in on what you've completed for them, or just, you know, somebody like yourself that it just sees the work online and reaches out and gives you that kind of compliment, like, that, it's kind of like a pat on the back moment. Like, you know, you got to give yourself a little bit of credit for all the time that you've put into this, like perfecting your craft, going the lengths that you've gone to get where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always that appreciation that comes from the compliment rather than the money. Like I said, the check is great, but when a client opens up about how much they appreciate what you've done for them, or like you just said, like looking at the work and getting that compliment, it means a world more than just the dollar value.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, like, I went through a lot of stuff in my life the last like couple years, and a lot more in the last like several months. And like, one of the things like I realized, and you know, I'm 35 years old, I know we're probably pretty close in age, but like, you know, I'll say like, it really kind of took me up, like up until this point in my life, maybe up until like not too long ago, like, you know, for the longest time, it's like, not that I was doing it for the wrong reason, but like, right. I was like, oh, like, it's a good paycheck, like, this is good. And it's like that, you know, but it's like, when at the end of the day, when you really sit back and think like, do I really love this? Like, what am I really doing this for? And if you can't really think of multiple reasons besides it's a good paycheck, well, then maybe you're doing it for the wrong reason,
right.
You know? And
100%.
I always say to my team and just anyone in general, like, I don't care who you are, like, just do good work. And when you do good work and do good by people, the money will just follow.
Right.
It's just a byproduct.
I agree.
And like, that's exactly like what you just said. You said it just in other words. Yep. And it reminded me of that. And I think, you know, we all need to be reminded of that. You know,
that's growing up, that's kind of how I probably discovered entrepreneurship, because I was never one to I wouldn't just stay at a job to say I had a job.
Yeah.
If I didn't feel like I was valued at the job, or I didn't feel like I was getting worth something that I felt worth out of that job, then I myself no longer found interest in doing
kind of ran its course. And
so it was like, I was always jumping around from job. I've done anything from working in a convenience store to working at a grocery store to landscaping, hardscaping, construction, being a a host in a restaurant, managing a bar, being a bartender.
You've done a lot, man.
So like I've always wanted to try new things to kind of get a feel for the things that I gravitate towards. Especially because like I didn't go to college right out of high school. I mean, I had family pushing me and people telling me like, you know, you got to get in college. But I didn't want to go to school just to go to school to say I have a college degree. And then hate the rest of my life because I'm doing something.
Because you rushed into something and got a degree that maybe
love doing. And I have a good amount of friends that do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's friends that I have that went to school. They love doing what they do. However, there is that group that, you know, they went to college just to say they went to college. And now in their 30s, they don't know if what they're doing is what they want to do for the rest of their life. Well, I could confidently say that I love design. Like, there's nothing, don't get me wrong, there's days that I have that are tough that I wake up and, you know, I may not want to get out of bed and do it, or I may have a harder client to deal with, whatever it may be. But at the end of that day, like, I still love doing what I'm doing. I don't retract from that. I don't try to look at different routes to do anything, even like the other companies I was telling you about. Like, they're not something to replace what I do. It's just that I don't want to ever get bored with my time. So I always want to, it's more or less building a legacy and a foundation for my kids. So they have those opportunities present growing up that say I did not. And it's just having that mindset about just trying to accomplish more, bettering yourself, going to lengths that most people won't go. And like, it's true when they say like there's only, you know, 1% of those individuals in the world that are willing to risk it all for really the unknown at that point. Which is something that like I feel like I gravitate, like I like not knowing what's up next, like kind of having to prove yourself to get to those next steps, where like a lot of people like everything laid out, know exactly where
they're like having that plan.
Right.
Like if I get this, then I'll be there. And if I do this, then I get this promotion and I'll make this much more money. And
which don't, I mean, that's not, I'm not saying, like I said,
there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with that. But like I've talked to people where they kind of diminish, say, my mindset of looking at the world because they're not willing to take it those lengths. Or they just might be, I don't want to say simple-minded, but they just might not have that same thought of, is it really worth going those lengths? Is it really worth risking that? Is it really worth putting yourself underneath that stress? And, you know, year one, year two, when I started my company, I probably didn't feel as much as it was worth it, just because the amount of stress that it took on me. Like I was telling you before, like there was probably a good 6 to 7 months where like I didn't sleep. I was probably crying every other night, and it was just out of the fear of failure. Fear failing my wife, fear failing my kids, not sitting out and doing what I said I would do, and just backing up, you know, that game at the end of the day. Whatever I was speaking of, whatever I was saying I was set forth to do, like I wanted to be that guy to say, you know what, like I remember him saying he was going to do that, and he did it.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't want to have that mantra surrounded by me, like, oh yeah, you know, he talks he's a lot.
He's the guy. He's not going to do it. Oh yeah, dude, that drives me nuts.
I do have there's guys that I have a guy that he's been talking to me for like the last 3 years about starting a company, and it just got to a point where I was like, dude, if you didn't start that now,
you're never going. Yeah,
like there's you have to understand like where your mind resides in that point. Like, are you willing to go those lengths, or it's just something that you like talking about?
Because it sounds like a good idea.
It makes you feel good and it makes it sound good.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to it. Like, a lot of people think that starting a company is like, you know, you fill out the LLC paperwork, open up your business account, and you have a business.
You're making money,
I
right?
Wish. Like, I wish that's all that there was to it, because I'd have 50 of them by now. But like,
you'd be rich as hell.
There's so much more that goes into it, and a lot more. Like, I tell people all the time, like, it's like I knew it would be hard, but it's 100 times harder than I ever thought it would be. And it's just because as a first-time business owner, I didn't have really anyone in my family that I could turn to and say like, hey, like as a business owner, like what are, you know, the certain walls that you hit, or like what are the obstacles that you hit within your business ventures to like kind of work around that or get a feel for it. Like I didn't have that.
Okay.
So everything I experienced was a first-hand experience.
So you really learned it on the fly.
It was for the first, and I had a business partner who helped me out a lot. He studied international business. So he was great at sales and lead generation and getting the company out there. My boy, Mark Vinkoski, I couldn't have gotten Vicon to where it is now without him. So I hope he watches this and he knows that, because I don't ever want him to feel like he was taken advantage of or didn't have a place within the company. Because I believe that you have to recognize the people that help you get to a certain point in your life. You can't just sit there and think that you did it all by yourself.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It is damn near impossible. And in the beginning, I thought it might be a thing, but within like, I wouldn't even say the first year, probably within the first 6 months, I was like, thank freaking God. Like I called him. He was one of those guys growing up where like I knew that when I called him with that business venture, like I knew it would have been a yeah.
He was like, yeah, man.
Because he has the same, like, he just wants more to life, wants to do more, wants mm-hmm. to experience new things. So, like, and he was in real estate, too, so it kind of jived with, you know, what he did on mm-hmm. the end of the day, because he looked for, you know, a lot of those imperfections, how to better a home, to sell it, things of that nature. So he was a huge help. I think you have to be very naive to think that you could get where you want to get in life by yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of successful entrepreneurs talk about, like, building that team around you, and that team could come in different shapes and forms, but it's understanding that you can't wear all the hats.
Yeah.
And, like, you do have to take a step back and give people places to where, like, they're not your strong suits, to where they could, you know, strengthen those weak parts of that chain to where it's solid at a certain point.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier, you mentioned the fear and the fear of failure. Like, how did you get past that?
Oh, man. It was kind of just a put up, shut up kind of thing. It was like, you know, like you dug this hole, now climb the hell out of it. And it was just understanding that, like, I could accomplish anything I wanted to accomplish, but, like, I have to be, like, I can't look for other people to believe in me. If I don't believe in myself, or I show that I don't believe in myself, how the hell could I expect anybody else to look at me in the same light that I want to be looked at? So it was just a big reflection, a self-reflection thing. Just, like, you know, understanding, like, the risks that you're going to have to take, understanding that the hurdles you're going to have to overcome, understanding that there may be things you miss with the family in the beginning, that, like, you know, it's just, you have to do it. Like, if mm-hmm. this is what you want, like, there are certain things that you're just going to have
you gotta
to do.
Sacrifice.
So, I mean, there's, as a business owner, I think you're always sacrificing something, even, like, a little piece of yourself and sanity at some
sure.
point.
But sure.
it was just, it got to a point where it was really my wife and my kids that were that pillar.
Mm.
You know, especially having my first kid on the way. I started my company. Me and my wife just got married. We just bought our first house, and we were expecting our first kid. So I probably started a company at the very worst friggin' time, because we had no money in the bank. Everything we had was spent on the wedding. Everything that we had after that was spent on the house. And then we were expecting our first kid. So, like, there wasn't any kind of, like, where we were sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars where, like, oh,
yeah, you didn't have the cushion.
If it goes south,
yeah,
you know,
hey, we got the cushion.
If it goes south, we're screwed.
We're done. Yeah, we're in big trouble.
So, my
wife.
So,
what were you doing? What were you doing before you started?
I was actually at, I knew architectural design from a stick build standpoint, but I didn't understand it from a modular end. So, I ended up working at Simplex Homes for about, I want to say, like, a year and a half. Not that I was big into modular or anything like that. I just wanted to just see the different end of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there for about a year and a half, and I was it's probably right around that year and a half where, like, I just knew that, like, I could do more. Like, it wasn't that I hated what I did, but I just felt like I wasn't valued the way I felt I should be valued.
And you felt like you had more to give.
Right. And I just felt like no matter how much I gave, like, I was always gonna be where I was. Mm. So it didn't matter how much I excelled at what I did. And it's nothing against them. You know,
sure,
every company, every corporation has their dynamic and how they do things and how they promote things. But it was just like, it came to the realization that, like, right, like, this,
you're topped out.
Right. It's either you're going to go set forth and do what you want to do with your life, or you're just going to suck it up, deal with what you have, and just kind of ride that wave, which I was not at all comfortable with. Like, I was not okay just saying, okay, this is my life, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up, hate everything I do for a living, and just
yeah.
and be good with it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want that.
It's crazy how many people actually, like, live like that. I mean, yeah. I say often a lot, like, people like you and I, like, we're different.
Yep.
We're just a different breed.
There's,
and I guess I maybe that's the only way to put it. I don't know.
It is. There's a lot of, like, older gentlemen that I work with, guys that have been doing it for 35, 40 years. And, like, I'll have a conversation with them, and they say it all the time. They're like, you know, you're like the last of a dying breed.
Mm.
Like, and it's not that you're amazing at what you do, or it's just that mentality
mm-hmm.
to, like, want more, even for how good you are, to just to want to achieve more, to not be comfortable where you're at, to just, you know, like, want it. It's a corny phrase, but to want the sun, the moon, and the stars, like, that's what I aim for, is to take everything I possibly can away from this life. I say always to leave a legacy, not a tombstone. So I just don't want to be a body in the ground with a name on a tombstone, and that's where it rests.
That's it, yeah.
Like, I want my kids far after I'm gone to be able to drive through a city and be like, oh, my dad worked on that, or my dad did this, or my dad designed that, and kind of have that lasting figure of a legacy. Then, like I said, just a body in a graveyard.
Yeah, infusing bits and pieces of you.
Right.
That's cool. That's a cool way to put it.
It's just to, it's, and I do, man. I have a lot of friends too. They're like, you know, not everyone else is meant to be an entrepreneur, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, but most people probably can be. It's just understanding of what you're really good at, what you could accomplish, and then just being able to kind of muster up that courage to take that first step. Once you take that first step, like it's a, like I said, it's a put up, shut up moment. It's like, okay, like I got my foot through the door. Now it's either I'm going to go 100% or I'm just not going to do it at all. So there's guys that I know that would be great at certain things they do, even if it's for what they do as a living, but they can probably do it by themselves. It's just that level of comfort knowing that, you know, as long as they show up, clock in 40 hours a week, mm-hmm. come home, get that paycheck.
They're safe.
That's where, don't get me wrong, like we both said, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, to me, like that's not a way to that I want to envision my life and my outcome of life. Like I want to achieve every little damn thing that I possibly can.
Yeah, that's boring to me.
And it is.
it's so boring.
I just can't, to do the same thing every day in, day out, and to come away with nothing more than what you had the week prior. Like to me, like that's just, you just working your life away.
Mm-hmm.
To where like, yeah, your first maybe year or two in business, like you might not have a lot to show for it, but if you keep at that, if you keep grinding away, if you keep perfecting your craft, like eventually you'll be able to reap those rewards, and they'll come slowly, but when they do come, it's tenfold of what you would get working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because you know that is solely rewarded off of your efforts. Like nobody else, as far as what you do for a living, had anything to do with that. Like that was solely you putting forth every ambition, every amount of courage that you had to accomplish whatever feat it was you were trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So there's just a self-reflection thing where you have to kind of understand your value, what you're worth. I say that a lot. It's just really like understanding what you're capable of, what you could produce, even as far as a friendship, you know, the people you surround yourself with. It's, you know, if those individuals aren't willing to give you back what you're willing to give them, then why the hell are they your friends?
Right.
Like why?
Yeah, it's just convenience.
Nothing against you.
Yeah.
Like, but you're just not sitting at my table. You could build your own table, sit somewhere else, but you're not at my table. Like, if you can't give back to me what I would give to you, then there's no point of that friendship, because it's just a take relationship at that point. So it's like I said, it's a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah, yeah, and I think too, like the more you do it too, and like how you said about like once you make that leap, it kind of like just like. It's freeing. It's like liberating, and
oh, God,
yeah. Not that it gets easier, but kinda. You know what yeah. I mean? I know you know what I mean. Like, you know, just like it's scary. It's hard. It's gonna continue to be hard forever. Like
right.
There is never like a, and I always feel like everybody too is like, oh, like one day, like when you're making more money, it's like, well, yeah, but more money, the bigger company, the bigger the right. problems, the more, you know, whatever. But like it does get easier. Like once you like you said, like you kind of learned a little bit by probably trial and error as a lot of people, right? You do something that doesn't work, you do something else, and
right.
you keep going until you figure out a way where I think most people would, if it's like, it doesn't work the first or second time, they just quit.
Yep.
It's like, well, wait a second. Like I always say, there's always a way.
Yep.
Like I don't care what you're doing. There's just always a way. There's like, and when somebody tells you no, it's like, okay, well, next.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep going until you get the yes. I think a lot of people just don't have, they don't have the patience. Maybe they lack the patience or maybe a little bit of discipline.
I would probably say even discipline over the patience.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people have the understanding of how they have to set forth or be able to guide themselves into like some kind of mannerism as far as how they're going to accomplish that next feat. It's more or less they have to be have their hand held to kind of guide them to that point where I think you learn more too about yourself when you solely put everything on your back and
yeah.
you're the one fully responsible for whatever it is you're trying to achieve, but like it's up to you,
it's all on you.
When you yeah. wake up in the morning, that dude staring back at you in the mirror, like if he's not willing to go that extra mile, then you're never going to get to that extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's always going to be the same thing. So it is like it all falls back. When I was younger, man, I was very naive, you know, like most guys do, they think they have the world by the balls and this, that, and the other thing. And like, you know, they're immortal. They could do whatever. And then it comes to, you have to, and some guys never grow past that. You know, there's guys I know now that are in their 30s that they still act the same way they acted in high school.
Yeah.
You know, their yeah. mentality, the way they look at things. And it's like, you have to get to a certain point and like understand who you are as an individual.
Yeah.
Like that you're
and realize not, there's so much more to life.
Right. That, you know, you're not God. You're not perfect. Like you do suck at some shit. It's just trying to get to the bottom of and the root of who you are as a person. And then I think once you find that and you find your purpose, is then slowly when you get to show people exactly like who you truly are. So like I always tell people, like the person you meet, like the person you know from high school was like the dumb, naive version of me. The kid who, like, if I could meet my 18-year-old self now, I'd kick his ass. You know, just because of how naive he was and just the way he looked at certain things, to where now, like, I look at those very same things, but from a drastically different perspective. Because at the end of the day, like, it is your life. Like, you're the only one. Nobody's going to come hand you a bunch of money. Nobody's going to guide you through the process. Like, it is solely up to you.
Yeah.
So if you're not willing to do it or you're not willing to put that effort in, then you're not getting from it whatever you want from it. Like, mm-hmm. There is no saving grace.
Yeah.
It's a me versus me mentality.
Yeah. I love that. Me versus me.
I saw that somewhere. It was probably like a year or two ago. And it was just, that's just what it was. The guy, he just said it was a me versus me. Mm-hmm. And like, it just resonated with me. Cause like, that's kind of like one of those things, like where people say like, you got to get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like, you'll always have that like good and evil side to you. Like something telling you, you can't do it, or something putting every doubt in your mind of why you shouldn't do it. And then there's always the voice that's trying to get you to that point to be able to like go those extra lengths. And it's usually that voice is the quieter one. And like, you know, that negative voice is usually the louder one. So it's just like, it's having faith in yourself, man.
Yeah.
Like just believing in yourself that you could achieve the things, understanding, like I just said before, like where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and just think that you're not God. You can't do everything. However, like there is that one thing that you probably could do better than most. So you put all your effort into that. You understand that you're going to fail. Like there's that quote, you know, you fall down 100 times. It all that matters is you get up 101. So kind of like you just said, like everyone's afraid of that, like failure. Like there's multiple things that I've failed at, looked back at, grown upon, like learned from, even first starting the company, working with some clients to where maybe I felt like I could have delivered something better, or maybe they were a little, I don't want to say angry, but maybe upset with what they got or what the outcome was. And it was just learning and how to perfect that and how to deliver a better product, a better service. So it's always like, it's always a growing thing. You always have to, you can't think that you're completely perfect. You can do no wrong. Like I learn something new every day. The engineers that I use, Keystone Structural Group, Dan Horn's a buddy of mine. He's one of the owners with his buddy, Tony. working with them the past like 3.5-4 years. Like he's never been one to like turn away a question I had, or even when he does any of my structural work, like I'll look at his plans, look over things, ask him questions. Like he's always given me insight, telling me how to go about things, how to look at things from a certain perspective. So again, like that's me being open to the fact that, all right, like he's a structural engineer, I'm a designer. He knows far more than I do about how these things go together. So it would be my naive for me not to take his input into consideration.
Right.
Because they're two different ends of it, where there are some people that they will, like they'll think they know more, they know better, they've seen it done differently, which is fine. But I'm one of those, I'd rather be open-minded about something and take in information and kind of pick from that information what I feel is vital, rather than just toss everything out the window and be like, yeah, like I already knew that.
Yeah.
I know better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people too, like a lot of people aren't humble enough to have that attitude that you have, which I think is probably why you're as successful as you are. Right. And I think is why some of the most successful people are like they are, because they have that student of the game mentality, yeah. Always learning. And I always say, like, if you're not like adapting and changing and evolving, you're dying. Like literally right. You're dying, because like, you know, like, you know, with technology, the way things are progressing, how fast they're progressing, like industries change, technologies yep. change. Like there's just so much constantly changing nowadays that yep. like, if you're not just, you have to know that constantly, like in 5 years from now, you might be doing something almost completely different than what you were doing 5 years ago. Like when right. you really think about that, like you might be offering or selling a new product or service that you're like, five years ago, we never even would have thought about doing right. that, you know? And like, I've even seen that with us here at OTS within the first 5 years of doing yeah. this, you know, like we've already ventured into, and we're already venturing into new things and different things that like literally a year and a half ago, I just had a conversation with somebody the other day And because she, like a year and a half ago, she was like, hey, like you should do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, ah, no, I'm not interested in that. Right. I like right away, like I was just like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Shut it
down. Yeah, I shut it down so fast. And like, and I just talked to her like the other day and I was like, yo, I was like, do you remember when we had that conversation? I'm like, and she's like, yeah. And I was like, remember, like I shot that down. I'm like, it's so crazy to think like now, like we're doing that stuff. And like,
right.
But I said to her, I was like, I think maybe it was just out of time. Like we weren't ready.
Right.
Like, I think it was. Not that it was like something that was unachievable. It wasn't like, oh no, I don't want to do it because we can't. It was like, well, it was partly, I think I subconsciously knew we weren't ready
right.
to do some of that other work, right? But it just comes, I think, with time and yep. like, and as you evolve and you just kind of, you have to evolve. And that was kind of like one of the things that we just like evolved. And it's like now looking back on it, it's like so funny. It's hilarious that I turned that down.
It's crazy what experience could do to you.
Right. Just
how it changes your mindset. Yeah. I was the same way starting a design company, man. Like I, at first it was a lot of just 3D visualizations, like remodels, smaller things. And then it got to a point where like in the beginning, like if you came to me to design you a 5,000 square foot house, I'd be shaken. I'd be like, there's no fucking way I'm doing it. Like, there's yeah. no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
To where now, like I do that every other month. And it's like,
and now it's like second nature.
Right. And I think there's times you get caught up in the company where you don't realize you've hit those markers like, yeah. throughout your company. Cause you're
moving so
like,
fast.
You're just, it's the same thing every day as far yeah. as like what you have to get done, what you have to do, what you have to achieve. So like you never kind of take a step back and realize like where you've gotten to where like there has been times where I'm working on something and I take a step back and I'm like, damn man, like 5 years ago, like that would have been like a pipe dream.
You're right. Yeah. Like, or near impossible.
If a client came yeah. to you and did that, you would have hung up the phone quicker than they could get the rest of their sentence out yeah. to where like now yeah. you talk to somebody on the phone, you're like, yeah, yeah. Like, tell me more. Like, what do you want? What do you mm-hmm. want to achieve? And it's not even to the point of questioning yourself anymore. Like you're just that confident and it's gotta be confidence. Like you can't be arrogant at the fact that right. like you might step into a wheelhouse where there's something there that you might not be aware of or mm-hmm. you might not know. So you still have to be open to that. Like, there might be something within that project that you have to outsource or
yeah, you just don't know. Yeah, on. You're not the best at.
But it's just there's the like I said, it's the confidence over the arrogance, just knowing that you could achieve it. Like you could find those answers. You have the right people within your circle to mm-hmm. pull away information that you may not have. But it's that growth thing, like you said, like a year or two in the company, like I never would have dreamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, like that was just a crazy reality to where yeah. like now I do it and I'm like, damn, like you did that.
Yeah.
Like, so it is, there's, I don't like to, I'm not big on like patting yourself on the back and trying to acknowledge every little achievement you did. Cause I think as a business owner too, that's kind of what you strive for, is to achieve more and to accomplish things. But I do think it is important every now and then to kind of take a step back and acknowledge your growth and how far you've come, because then too, you understand that all that effort, all that work, all those sleepless nights, like
yeah,
it wasn't worth for nothing.
Yeah.
Like you actually do have something to show for it in longevity. Like it's always working towards something.
Mm-hmm.
You're never sitting stagnant or at the same place. And I could confidently say that over the course of almost 7 years, like there's never a time where I felt like Vicon was sitting stagnant. Like there was always a place of growth and I'm always learning new things, how to interact with clients, what betters clientele, so on and so forth. But it's just realizing the whole picture of like how far you've come. And I do think every now and then, because you might get that from friends or family members, people that are close to you, but there's always a little bit of that biased opinion in my mind, like you just tell me that because you know you're my wife or you're
right,
my
mom, right, right, trying to make you feel good, right, like yeah.
To where like I feel like when you could take a step back and truly appreciate what you've accomplished, like there's true gratitude there
for sure,
because like you know what it took to get there.
Yeah, and you're like, I did that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not an
ego. And no one else can say that.
Right. Like, and
no
it's one not can an ego away. Thing. It's yeah. just understanding like the lengths you went to yeah. be able to achieve that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you'll still have those people that talk shit and say you're nothing and all that. But like I tell people all the time, like yeah. there was a point where like I did what I did to try to prove people wrong, where like I'm way past that. Where like I can care less if you think I'm the worst designer in the world or the very best. Like none of that is going to change.
It doesn't influence you in any way now.
It's not going to change my outlook on what I do. It's not going to change the way I go to sleep at night. It's not going to change the way I run my company. It's that to me, it just falls on deaf
ears.
It's not even, like lighting a fire under me anymore. Like my fire comes from my wife and my kids.
That's awesome.
Like they're the reason why I wake up and do what I do and grind every day and try to accomplish more is literally because of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. If there's people on the outside that think I'm great or think I suck, but
That doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, I can give a shit less.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to stay true to myself, true to my family, and that's, to me, at the end of the day, it's all that really matters.
Yeah, I love that. By the way, like, a lot of what, you know, we're saying and we're talking about, and a lot of everything that you're about, like, it reminds me of this book. Unless you're big into rap like me, you may not know who Russ is. Do you know Russ? Yeah. Did you ever read this book?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, here, this one's yours. That copy's for you. Oh, but nice. I mean, I'm a big Russ fan. It's like the easiest read ever, by the way. I read it on vacation just the other week, and I've read it twice since then. I'm probably going to read it a third time. But a lot of the, I think the chapters, are they on the back there?
I was just looking at Delusion, Persistence, Gratitude.
Yeah, and a lot of them, the funny thing is a lot of them are like names of his songs.
Right.
So it's cool. Like I listened to the audio version too of this. And in the audio version, Russ, he reads it himself. So it's cool because it's him and it's his voice. But he also, like, his music is also embedded into into the audiobook. Yeah, so it's like, it's pretty cool. But I think you'd really enjoy that book because a lot of what kind of we're saying here so far is like, it's a lot of this. And it's like, it's all in your head and get out of your own way. And it's like me versus me, like how you said, like, that the whole me versus me thing.
Right.
That's literally this book. Like, that's like everything about this dude.
Read it and let you know anything about it.
Dude, you're going to love it. And it's so easy. It's such an easy read. It's so short. There's so much packed in there. And it's like one of those books that, like, I feel like almost like a fifth grader can pick that book up and read it. Like, it's the one of the reasons I really like it so much is because it's like a micro book. Like, it's short. Right. It's so simple. And the information, there's so much information packed in there that even the second time I read it, I got more from it. And I expect even the third time I go to read it, I'll probably get even more from it. And I'll probably keep going and going and going. You know what I mean? But like, it's one of those that there's so much information packed in such a short amount of time. That's kind of like when you watch a movie and you're like, oh, and then you watch it again, you're like, oh, I didn't pick up on that joke. And then you finally pick up on that other joke. And you're like, oh my God, I've seen that movie like 10,000 times, but I never
really, that up
right?
On
yeah.
It.
Yep. That's like what this book is like, but from a knowledge perspective,
right?
You know, and but yeah, so I'm on this kick of gifting that book to people. So you're like the second or third person I've gifted it to. Nice. But when I you know, because I bought a couple extras just to have around, just because I like sharing stuff like this that I feel like has helped me,
right?
That I know will help other people, and because obviously I could, you know, based on our conversation, we're all the same like mindset, you know, and we think about the same things, we have a lot of the same goals, the values, etc. Right. Dude, you're gonna love that book.
And definitely gonna have to give this a read.
Yeah, and plus I'm just a huge Russ fan.
I always like because there's times, and I'm sure you probably get into that mindset too. Like, there's times where like it's refreshing when you sit down with other individuals that kind of have that same perception.
Yeah, and you know why? Because you don't have to apologize for what you're saying.
Right.
Isn't that great?
But it's also like how could I put it? It's also like an understanding of like, okay, like, dude, like you're not fucking crazy. Like, there are other people out there that think just like you do.
Yeah.
It's just there's a very small circle.
Yeah. And because when you're on your own, like thinking of these things, like all these things that we're saying, like when you're at work, going through your everyday life, when you're at home and you're thinking all these thoughts, and because you don't, a lot of times, like you said, you're not sitting down and having a conversation with somebody like me or, you know, like you, day in, day out, like all your conversations. So like you kind of, you know, just like it says in your own head, like, am I the only one that thinks this way? Yeah. Am I the only one that wants more? Am I the only one that thinks like anything is possible? Mm-hmm. Like, dude, that stuff runs through my head all the time too. And it's like people, like, I don't know, man. Like, I look at anything like, it's like, if I want to accomplish something, like, I'm just going to do it.
Right.
And I know, like, almost pretty much no matter what I do, like, if I'm going to set out to do something, like, I'll get it done. And just like you said earlier, like, I'm the type of person, like, I'm not going to say something unless I'm going to do it. And if I do say it, odds are I'll do it. And, and a lot of it is like manifesting, which is huge for Russ. Like, he talks about manifesting a lot, which I love. And I'm big on
very big into that.
Yeah, man, you're going to be obsessed with this book. But yeah, like the manifesting thing, it's like the crazy part is, and I'm gonna have to go back, and I hope somebody maybe that listens to these episodes more religiously than I do, can remember, but dude, I know there's multiple things that I've said throughout the last, so right before we came on, me, you, and Eric were sitting here, and you asked, hey, how long have you been here, right, in this space, right? So we were talking about that, and, you know, by the time this episode comes out, we'll be right around the two-year mark, actually. It's actually slated to come out, I think, right on the actual two-year anniversary of the closing of this building. How weird is that?
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
It's pretty crazy. I'm looking at my note right now.
I like that.
Yeah. So, but the point is, what the hell was I saying? It was, oh, damn, I lost what the hell I was saying. me, you, and Eric. What the hell were we talking about?
Oh, how long you've been in this building?
Yeah, yeah. But what the hell was the point of that? I can't remember why I was saying that. I'm like going like a million miles an hour in a couple different directions.
I like that too. Yeah. I'm talking about something and I'm thinking about something else.
Oh, manifesting. That was it. This was it. Yeah. Yeah. So manifesting. So there's been so many things that I've said like during these episodes that like have came true. Yep. And like things that like kind of like we would joke about. Like I'll give you like one example, right? And we said this right before we came on that I'm looking at expanding into a bigger footprint, right. Different office, different space, different building, right? So, that was a point. So I bought this 2 years ago, and in less than 2 years, we've already, I'll say, like kind of like outgrown the space, and it's tight in here, as you could see, right? And we're doing a lot of different things, like we're repurposing a lot of the space and making do with what we can with what we got, right? But I forget what episode it was, but I vaguely remember, and again, because I've done so many, I don't remember everything I've said, right? But I know at some point, maybe like 50 or 100 episodes ago, which would have been in here, I think I said it at some point, either I said it or a guest, and this is probably happened on more than one episode, where somebody's like, yeah, in a couple of years, you're not even gonna be in this building. And at that time, I kind of joked and I was like, maybe we'll get a bigger building. And, you know, there may have been some episodes where either I downplayed it, but then there might have been one or two, and I can't remember exactly. I hope somebody can remember if they're listening to this and watching this and remembers when I said it, because it'd be a really cool moment to look back on, right? Is that like, maybe at some point I was like, yeah, like, you know, maybe one day we'll have a bigger place and we'll be doing X, Y, and Z. And a lot of that stuff is already coming true,
right?
You know, and now like we are, like I said, like we're looking for a new space, you know? So like, again, you, manifesting and back to that book. That's it, man. Like, again, like just saying stuff like on like this, like out in public. I'm also just big on like speaking things out loud, whether it's just putting yourself on blast, I call it, like right now, like I'm putting myself on blast by saying like, hey, this is something we want to achieve. This is, you know, we want to get to this point. We want to grow X, Y, and Z, right? And I think a lot of times for me, at least it helps me, is like saying these things and putting it out there. Yep. Because then it's kind of like you're holding yourself accountable, you know, and it's not, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to be like, oh, I'm just going to say it. So then everybody looks at me and I have this pressure on me. You're kind of creating
pressure yourself.
But like there's just something different about it when you speak it and you tell people like, hey, I'm going to do this. Because until you actually like speak it, like it's just an idea in your head.
Yep.
And so whether you write it down like, hey, like I'm gonna achieve XYZ by whatever date, or I'm gonna do this or I'm gonna do that. Whether you write it down and keep it somewhere or just speak it, whether it's on a podcast or whether, you know, you meet with some people, like some like-minded people that can appreciate your goals and your aspirations and all that. But I'm big into that, man. And I think it's so true. And just like you said, when you surround yourself with the people that have the same mindset and want the same things out of life, like you're gonna go like this with each other. It's just a parallel, you know? Whereas like, and I know I said this recently too, like my mom always said growing up, like if you hang around with losers, you're gonna become a loser.
There's that saying where you hang around with five idiots, you'll be the sixth.
Yeah, and it's like that with anything.
Yep.
You hang around with winners and you'll be a winner.
Yep.
You know, like, I mean, obviously there's a little bit more to it than just that. It's not that simple, but like, kind of.
Well, yeah. So if you look at a lot of the people out there that are like truly successful, like they don't have 30, 40 people like as an entourage. There's four or five of them, but they all have the very same end goals. They might choose different paths.
Right.
But like their end goal is all the same. I mean, they want everything out of life. Like they want it for the taking.
Everything and then some.
Right. And there's, you know, you're the person to tell them no, they're going to be the ones to say, okay, well, watch this.
Yeah.
So it's just, and like I said, we say it all the time, like not everybody has to be like that. But there is a point when if you're that type of individual and you're surrounding yourself by individuals who do think closed-minded and don't think outside the box and they aren't willing to go those extra lengths, then eventually that will slowly eat away at that ambition you have and that motivation you have, just like manifestation. If you're constantly telling yourself you can't do something, then there's a good chance you're not going to end up doing it, because you already have yourself beat before you even get out of the gate, to where if you're always your own hype man and you're always telling yourself like, right, you're like, you could do this, like you got to get up and do this. And it could be as little as just getting up. And I just started going back to the gym like five months ago, and I haven't even been consistent as I have, but I haven't gone to the gym in almost 7 years since we had our first kid, just with the company, the new kid, like the time was it wasn't
there. There was not. Yeah.
So it's even just like something as little as that is like at the end of the day, like I usually go at like 10 o'clock at night. So like it's, I wait till like after the wife goes to bed, after the kids go to bed. So like I still have my time with them and I'm not missing out on it or putting, you know, myself before them. But, you know, come 10 o'clock at night, like waking up at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, like you're beat. Like there's, so it's, you do have to get in your head and be like, okay, like stop being a pussy, get to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's an hour and a half. You could do it. You're going to sit down on a couch anywhere or watch TV or do something on your laptop. Yep. Just go to the gym. So it's, it is that the manifestation too. And like I said, like getting out of your own way, like you have to be that pillar before other people surround you and become your additional pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have that aspiration to become something more, then you can expect people outside of you to look at you in any different light than how you see yourself.
Yeah.
So it is just kind of,
and you have to be excited about your own thing. I always say that too. Like it's like it's very similar to how you said about like you got to be your own hype man.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. It's like, hey, like if you're not out there, like, and when I say out there, this could be any form. It could be in person. It could be on the phone. It could be social media, whatever.
Right.
If you're not out there telling everybody like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. We're super excited about it. We want you to hear more about it. Like, here's our stuff. Here's what we do. You know what I mean? Like, not in a, like a cheesy sales way by any means, but like, you got to be excited about your own shit.
Right.
Kind of like how you said, like, you just have to have that confidence. And when you have that confidence, it's like the same thing. Like when you're out there, hey, this is what we do. And like, and if you're excited about it, then other people will be excited about it. If you're right. not excited about your own thing, who the hell's going to be?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's like the same thing that you just said, like you got to be,
I
you
have
to
agree.
Be. You 100% agree. Have to be.
I don't even necessarily, like I have, I don't always like tend to look in the way of entrepreneurs. Like I have a buddy who's a good buddy of mine, Antonio Russo. He's a cop out in Philadelphia. But I can remember from like when we were little, like him wanting to be a Philly cop. So it's like just to follow your aspirations and dreams, like to set a mile marker in your life of what you want to achieve. And like we both said, like if that's something that you're truly happy doing, then you're winning at life because you're not waking up dreading every day going to work, providing for your family. Like you truly do and are working at something that you love doing.
Yeah. And I think more people are actually already at that, to that point, but don't yeah. realize it.
They
you know, they think like, oh, you got to have like, you gotta be bringing in millions of dollars. You need the giant house, like bigger than the one you got,
right.
And you need this and that. And it's like, well, no, like you're already doing it. Like you're already successful. Like the fact that you're
yep.
doing it and on that path,
yep.
that's it.
It's just being a better version of you. Like I tell you, you could be. I don't care if you're a garbage man, but be the best fucking garbage man.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean? I'm gonna sling those garbage bags, yeah. fucking 30
like
feet.
A motherfucker.
but be, like, if yeah. that's what you love doing,
then do it.
Then do it at 100%.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
don't degrade yourself or belittle yourself because it's not what you know A, B, and C are doing.
Yeah, or it's not portrayed by society as like,
right.
oh my god, he's like the best garbage man.
But
like,
I mean, and you know, money can't buy happiness, and I agree with that. I mean, however, like there aren't a lot of miserable people I met that are successful.
Right.
But there's also a good chance that a lot of those people I've met truly love doing what they're doing, which is why they're so successful.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interrupt.
resign, do per diem or whatever, but you don't have to go clock in every day, work a 40-hour work week. To where it was just probably like 4 or 5 months ago, maybe even a little bit more, where she was finally able to do that.
That's awesome.
She put in a resignation and she only does per diem now, so she's home a lot more, which has helped me out greatly because now there's a little less on my plate when it comes to getting up in the morning, getting the kids ready, things of that nature. Yep. And I mean, she loves being a mother. So like there's, she loves being around our girls. Don't get me wrong, as a parent, like you always need that time alone to refresh, reset.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like as a parent, like it's your kids every day, day in, day out.
Yeah, you love being nuts. Around
them. You want to squeeze them. Yeah. It's like, no, like you need that space. So and like that kind of is like her way to like get away and do her own thing. But it was, in the beginning, man, it was very difficult. Like I said, there was, for the first probably like 8 months in the business, like I said, I probably cried every night. I think I lost like 18 pounds just because like the only thing I was thinking about was just failing. And it literally consumed me until I finally got past that. It's like, right, dude, like you're 8 months in, you're generating money, your company's growing, people are taking notice, like you love what you do, just like take a step back, breathe. Like you had no problem going to work your whole life working for somebody else. Like just do the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nobody calling you to see where you're at, what time you're coming in, setting a schedule for you. Like it's just, it's up to you now.
Yeah.
So it was probably like a year and a half in where I started to feel like comfortable.
Okay, I was gonna say, how long did it take you to, like, obviously, and this will probably be changing and ongoing as you go, right? But like when you first started, like you said, like you were getting the kids up and getting them ready, taking them to school, and because you know your wife, maybe you guys had different hours, right?
Yeah, she was out of the house at like 5:30 in the morning.
Oh my God, crazy! So,
like, she was far gone before the kids even got
you
up.
Probably weren't even awake, right? Like, so like how long did it take you to find like your kind of like your rhythm and your schedule? And obviously knowing that it probably has already changed multiple times since then, but how long did it kind of take you to kind of get like into like a good rhythm where you feel like, all right, I feel productive now. I figured out like probably, a good schedule.
Probably a year and a half.
Yeah.
It was probably right around there to where like I kind of understood like how my day-to-day schedule interacts with myself and how it impacts me.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like fine-tuning that, understanding like at what points to schedule things throughout the day, what projects to take on in certain days, depending on like what my wife's schedule looked like, things of that nature. And like those are also things like a lot of clients don't see. Like a client, client calls you, like they're only interacting with you. They don't see the father of three, the husband that also helps the wife out. Like they don't see any of that. So like there's always, and I pride myself on that to where like my wife isn't one that has to worry about taking care of everything. Like I will do everything that I'm supposed to do and that she's supposed to do. And we both work that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like if the garbage has to go out and say, I was up late working to where I forgot to take it out where my wife's expecting me to take it out. Like she'll grab those trash cans and take it out.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And it's the same thing.
It's the same thing with us. It's kind of like, it's like there's, it's a team thing, and it's like a, it's not even talked about. It just happens.
It does.
It's right. The same. Like, and I know you know what I'm saying. Like,
there's just a respect there. Like
one just picks up on the other.
Right.
When one person's lacking, the other one kicks in.
Right.
And it's so important. I think if you have a good relationship, that's how it is. That's how it should be.
Yep.
And like, it shouldn't even be like, oh, you didn't take the garbage out. Mm-hmm. It's just like, who cares who's taking the garbage out?
No.
Who's available at that day and time? You know, it's like, hey, if it's you, it's me. Great. Whatever. You know?
Yeah. No, there has to be a team. I mean, for a successful marriage, I mean, as far as, you know, what I've seen, like the way me and my wife work so well and we're still together. We still love each other. With the three kids and as much, the very little time we understand each other. Like if there's something that has to get done, now there's some things that, you know, my wife can't do that I just have to take care of. But being a man, like I don't have a problem with that. Like I don't have a problem doing anything for my family that benefits my family. Whether my wife can do it or not, like I truly enjoy being a man, being the man of the house, living up to say that expectations of like where our grandfathers were at. Not these younger generations, man. Like some of these guys I talk to, I'm like, God damn, man.
Like, yeah,
if you were 4 years older, I'd slap the shit out of you. Yeah. But it's just understanding that, like, I'd rather, and it's easier said than done, but I'd rather wait on my wife and my kids, knowing that their daddy and their husband will always be there to provide for them, give them the things they need, be there for when I'm needed the most, than somebody who's always going to bitch and moan about the next thing that has to be done. And don't understand, I get it, man. Everyone has their hard days. Like there's some days where like I just want to tell the world to fuck right off, but like you can't.
Yeah,
like, you have to kind of bottle that inside, keep it down low, and just kind of go throughout your day.
Yeah, put your head down and
But when you have a significant other like that, that understands like what you're working towards, like I was telling you on the phone, we talked, like she's more of a pillar to me than she even realizes, because she could have made it very difficult for me to start my own company.
Yeah.
You know,
to the point that you might not even have.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people don't get that.
She could have been nagging every day that I'm working too much, doing too little, not spending enough time with her, not spending enough time with the kids, whatever it might be. But she's never, and I could confidently say this, God strike me dead right now if I was lying, that in the 7 years I've been in business, she has never once complained that I work too much, that I'm doing too much with the company, that I'm not spending enough time. Because there is, like, I made it understood to her that, like, this isn't just for me. Like, I've always wanted to be a business owner. I've always wanted to own my own company.
Yeah, but,
like,
but this is
for us. I've already accomplished
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Everything after that now is for us. It's for our kids. So, like, if I fail, I just don't fail me. I'm failing you guys. And, like, I'll be damned if I ever let it get to that point where I have to look you guys in the eyes and tell you I failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also, as an entrepreneur, is what pushes you, when you have that, like, that fire backing you to where, like, you don't ever want that to go out. Like, you keep feeding that fire because you understand that the people that that's going to hurt the most are the people that you love the most.
Yeah, those are the people you let those people down, and that hurts the most.
Right, 100%. And it's not an ego thing.
Right.
It's just...
it's a love thing.
It is. It's just understanding that, like, I would give my kids the mountains, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe, whatever the hell they want, if they wanted it. Not saying that, you know, I'd spoil them rotten or anything like that.
But
I want to be able to have them to have those opportunities to where, like, if one of my girls grow up and they want to become an entrepreneur, like, me being able to have some kind of capital to the side or something to say that, you know, here, your father will invest in you. This is how we're going to do it. Because I didn't have that guidance, nor did I have that.
I was going to say, like, where does this come from for you? From, like I'm always, like, fascinated by, like where does this stem from? A lot of times, and this might be the case where, like, maybe you growing up, like, you wish there was, like, a version of you right back then, right?
Right. See, my, both my parents, they worked their tails off growing up. And as I got older, I noticed the amount of time and effort they were putting in to just give us kids what we needed and what we wanted. And it got to a certain point that not what they were doing, like my mom in herself is kind of an entrepreneur. She's a beautician. My dad worked for a while and the hurt in his back, so he couldn't work anymore, to the point where, like, he almost had to get surgery. So he was very limited on what he can do. And it got to a certain point where, like, it wasn't that they were doing anything wrong. It was just the worries and stress that they had. Like, I didn't.
You didn't want to have to ever have that stress.
I didn't want that.
Yeah, because, like, you felt the stress as a kid,
right?
And now as a parent, you don't want to put that on your kids,
right? And I also want to be able to give my, like, when I get to a certain point within my career, be able to give back to, you know, my parents, and be able to help them achieve things or get things that they've only ever dreamed of. Because, like, to me, like, that's, though, I tell my wife all the time, like, there will be a day where there is, and I will put this on your podcast, but there will be a day when my wife comes home and there is a black matte Lamborghini sitting in our driveway. You heard that right, babe? I just said it here. But, like, that's one of my things. Like, that I'm not, I don't want to, I'm, it's not that I'm materialistic, but, like, that's, I've always been a car guy. So, like, that's one of the things growing up, like, just looking at those at a young age, being like, damn, like, I would love to own one of those. So now I'll become my own man, have my own family, have my own business. It's like, all right, dude, like, you could get one of those.
Yeah, it's attainable.
You're going to have to work your ass off for it, but, like, you could do it. So it's like, that's that little piece of me that I want for myself. But, like, everything else around that is for my wife and my kids. Looking for land, trying to build a new house. Like, don't get me wrong, it's always been my dream to build my own house, especially as a designer. But, like, as a man, do I need a new house? Absolutely not. But for my wife to come home to a brand new house, for my kids to grow up in a brand new house, something that completely fits our lifestyle, our functionality, gives the kids a little bit more freedom when they have friends over as far as what they can do, who they could invite over, how big their birthday parties could be, like, all those little tiny
all those things factor in
that nobody thinks about.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're literally building the life that you want.
That's the shit I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
So it's like, people ask me, like, dude, like, how much did you think about throughout the day? And I'm like, dude, if I was able to remember everything I thought about throughout the day, like, I'd have no,
like,
more sin.
It'd be like four of these books, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, like you said, like, it's just betting on yourself and just putting your life into perspective on how you, at the end of the day, when you can finally take a step back and look at the fruits of your labor and everything you've accomplished, to be like, I did it.
Yeah.
Like, this is... this is what I want out of life,
and that's it. And it's possible.
It is. It is. And but it's hard, man. Like it's very hard work. It's very dedicated work. Like we said before, like discipline. Like that is all part of that. Like every little piece of that matters. So like the minute you start to dwindle from that is the minute you'll see those dreams slowly start to fade. Mm-hmm. So it's, and it is, man, it's hard every now and again to keep yourself on that track, as it does, like it gets overwhelming
yeah,
at times.
Yeah. And you're like, some days you're like, fuck it.
Yeah. Right. 100%.
Fuck it.
There's days I wake up and I'm like, not yep. dealing with it today.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's in the most part, like we both said, like if you love what you do, like everything that you're working towards, everything that you're working for,
it feels better.
It's a lot. Yeah. It feels a lot better. It feels a lot more attainable, and you don't ever feel like you're doing just something for nothing.
Yeah,
like there's always a common ground there, a common goal that you're working towards, and then you could eventually see that common goal be achieved. So it's just it is, man. Back to it. It's a me versus me thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just either put up, shut up, get out of your own friggin' way.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the business for a few minutes. So like, absolutely. All right. So design. What do you do?
Architectural design, man. Mostly residential. I do some light commercial things. More
interior. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see your house, by the way.
More interior. I can't wait.
Especially the fact that you can design yourself. Like that's cool, man. That's really cool.
It's one of the big things why I want to design my house, because there's so much I've seen. And like, yeah. just understanding.
You truly know like functionality and practicality.
Right. And that's the biggest thing about design work, is you could go online and find a million designers.
Yeah.
And a lot of them like to just paint pretty pictures.
Sure. But they don't take into consideration.
Right. If you get a house designed and you find yourself in a brand new house and you're still working for your house and your house isn't working for you, then it was done wrong.
Mm.
You build a new house, that house should work for you. The functionality, the storage, the layout, where your kids' bedrooms are. I mean, literally down to everything.
I didn't really think about some of that stuff.
That house should work for you. So it's that house in itself should make your day-to-day living easier.
That's a very interesting way to put it.
It is. And
never thought about it that way.
And there's, I mean,
it's making me reconsider everything in my life. Thank you for that.
Don't get me wrong, like there's
I'm building a house tomorrow.
There's clients that, you know, they some people want to go the cheaper route, and I won't say that I'm the cheapest. Like my prices are somewhat expensive, mm-hmm. but I can confidently say, like with that expense, like you're coming away with something that someone that's truly looking at your project as if they would look at your own. Like I'm going to ask you if you have kids. I'm going to ask you if you entertain. I'm going to ask you if you're more of a private person. Like all those little things that matter. That at the end of the day, when you are home, like that's your point to distress. That's your mm-hmm. point to get away from
you, and that you feel the best sitting in that house. Right.
To where if you walk into a house, especially a newly built house, and you're still stressed out, you're still pissed off.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I don't like everywhere. That. Oh, this doesn't fit over here.
So it's like, I beg my clients all the time, especially in new construction, when I send them plans, I'm like, please look over these plans. Like, I know we've talked about in a million times what you want in there,
mm-hmm.
what's going to be in there. I know you've read the proposal, but like,
really pay attention. Your
plans. Like, so please look through that if you want a bedroom bigger, if you want another closet, whatever it might be. Because like, once it's built,
that's it. Yeah.
You don't want to have to go start remodeling a brand new house, which there has been. There's been clients that I've worked with
that came back and were like, "Oh, hey, we need a."
They had you know, their home built by someone else, and a lot of them don't even have them designed. They just go onto like a site and pick out a spec home and find a builder, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But like a lot of times, most people do that just for the efficiency and how fast they can get in it, not mm-hmm. realizing that like there's so much more to it.
Yeah, and it's not, and probably a third of it's not going to work for them. It's like, so, a third of your house is wasted.
So I've been in houses, man, where they're like 3 years old, and I find myself like redesigning the kitchen,
sheesh.
Or redesigning like the master bedroom or the master bath.
Yeah,
and it's like, especially in today's economy, man, to spend that kind of money to build a new house, and to not have that house.
Well, yeah, be everything you need it to be and then some.
To me is like, I in a sense feel like you're even wasting your money on me at that point. So like there's a lot of projects I'll turn down just because like I pride myself on doing custom work. So like my projects, like I want people to walk in and see something that they've never seen before.
Mm.
Or if they have, it's something that they've seen in a completely different light or something that was done completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's just like little pieces. Like I'm big like on kitchens. Like I'll do like a fake pantry where it looks like just a pantry cabinet, but then when you open it, it walks into like a massive walk-in pantry.
Nice.
So it's like those little tiny features that like if you have people in your kitchen and you go open your pantry and they see a huge other room behind
it, like, whoa, like, yeah.
So, but it's, and it doesn't cost that much more. It's just the thought of like making that work within
the floor plan. It's the details. It's all these little, yeah.
Like, me and my wife love cooking. So like when I design our kitchen, like I'm going to make sure that
there's you're a big kitchen guy.
Right. Like yeah. I think we feel like, me and my wife say it all the time, and we feel like we live in a restaurant with three kids. Like we're constantly in that kitchen. So like when we build, like I want that kitchen to fully
plus suit. You're Italian, so I mean that's like, I mean that's it. We don't even have to say anything else.
So when my wife's making like her sauces and like the whole stove's taken up, so like I want to have enough room to where like
you could still operate. It's just everything's I get there. It. I, like, I totally get that.
It's clean still. Like everything's organized.
Yeah. Who didn't grow up? I mean at least I didn't. I mean, growing up like in the kitchen. Like, I mean, that's like how we did. It's like whenever there was a gathering, like whenever there was like a any type of party, whether it was holiday or not, it's like at my mom's house. She has like this little 2-inch TV up in the corner, right? And it's like we can go in the other room and watch the 46-inch TV.
But everyone's
in the kitchen where all the food is. There's 20 people crammed in the kitchen, and we're all watching this 2-inch TV up on the right. Like, but that's just the way it goes.
That's,
you know,
growing up. My mom was always big. She was always in the kitchen. My Nona, who recently passed, she was 100% Italian, so she was always in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one like where you couldn't leave her house unless you ate like four meals.
Like, oh yeah, she could feed that's you. That's how my grandma could
fill,
too. Yeah,
fill your plate.
And it was just constantly.
Like, well, you want more?
You want? Yeah,
like, no.
Yeah,
like, always. If I lived with you, I'd be 350 pounds like tomorrow.
Yes, that's how all Italian grandmothers are. They're all like that.
So,
I love that.
But within my company, it is as a designer, it's so small things that matter. It's just taking into account like what your client actually needs and wants out of it, and not just throwing something to paper. Like I said. Especially Instagram, Facebook, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of designers on that they only post like their biggest and baddest projects. And it makes people think that like
that's reality. That's
right.
Yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong, you on my Instagram page, there's some big bad projects on.
Yeah.
But there's also some very small ones.
Yep.
There's a garage that I converted into like a pool house.
Hmm.
So like I try to give like my clients understanding, like, yeah, like I do expensive things, but I also do like average everyday things.
Yeah,
it's just with a flair to it. Like if you're hiring a professional designer, it shouldn't, like your pool hall shouldn't look like your neighbors if they just had it
right spec'd. Yeah, and everybody you go from one house to the next the next, they all look the same,
right? So there should, and usually when people hire, you know, myself or another professional designer, that's what they're aiming for, is they want something that looks different. They don't want something cookie cutter. They want something outside the box.
Yep.
But then there are clients, man, where I've had clients that hired me and like they just want like the conversation once we start is completely different from where it was when we first talked, to where it went from this like cool custom thing to like now this just like everyday thing that you've seen a million times, where I tell them like, guys, like I can't, don't even feel like I could actually charge you for my services for this, because like you're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, like, it's just like a standard thing. Right. Yeah,
you don't even, you go to a builder
and just pick that up. Yeah.
And the builder.
Yeah. Just go online.
Right.
Probably.
So it's, and in the beginning, like, I mean, I did. I took everything, because you got to build that portfolio up, you know, that resume. You want to put a bunch of projects on social media and on your portfolio and things like that. So, like, in the beginning, it's tough because you do kind of have to take everything that comes your way, which isn't a bad thing, because you learn a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, what you want, what you don't want,
where your niche is,
yeah.
Like, what you'd like to focus on.
And it sounds like you really found yours.
So, I'm really like modern contemporary is my jam. Like I love just the vibe it gives. Like my wife will say she doesn't like that style because it looks like a museum, and I said that's exactly it. I want someone to walk in my house and not touch anything.
Yeah.
Walk, sit, enjoy the food and leave.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
but I've also
and be wooed by the pantry that opens bigger than what it is, right? Yeah,
but there's also styles like American Craftsman, there's some traditional homes. It really all depends on like what the client's looking for in that. So like there's been designs I've loved even outside of modern contemporary. But like that's really like that modern contemporary look is like really where I stand.
What's out. Like your favorite thing, like besides like the kitchen, like is there like another part of the house that you're like, oh man, I just like, I love designing that?
The my biggest two things, and it's probably more in the sense of because like how I grew up as far as like entertaining parties, things of that nature, is really like how the kitchen works with the great room.
Oh yeah, let's say I
and how that like jives
the same way.
So
yeah,
it's those, even though they're two separate rooms, they're always together in a sense.
So that way you don't get the get the big TV in that room and then the kitchen, everyone's in the kitchen, right?
Or sometimes master suites can get, there's actually a house I'm working on right now, it's like roughly 5,500 square feet, and their master suite is a pretty cool setup.
Yeah.
So it's like the thing I love about what I did, custom work, like you never see the same thing twice. You might see something very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
But like it, there's always something because you're designing for the client. So mm-hmm. you're designing towards their wants, their characteristics, the things that they favor. So you end up coming away with their vision, but with your professional flair on
yep,
it.
Yep, yep.
So like this bathroom in a sense has like archways walking into the shower area where like the tub is, so we call it like a wet area, so like your tub and your shower in the same location, and then where their big window is in the front is where their vanities are with like a makeup thing, and it's really neat how everything came together. I'm actually I'll probably end up posting that probably early next week, that bathroom.
I'm gonna love them. I'm gonna be looking out for it.
But it's cool because, and it is a luxury house, so it is a little bit more grand,
sure,
than you know,
yeah, than the average, yeah.
But it's different. Like it has its own like little unique thing to it. So like, and it fits like their style, their flair, like what they were looking for. So at mm-hmm. the end of the day, that client goes into that space, like that's their like I try to like, in a sense, your master suite, especially your master bathroom, I try to give it that like spa feel. Because like that's where you're going to decompress at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take a nice hot shower. You want to relax. Yeah,
relaxing. Yep.
It's just to like decompress you for those 15, 20 minutes. Something that like kind of takes you out of, not necessarily out of your house, but it does in a way takes you out of your house and puts you yeah. into a place where like it's just
a different mindset.
Relaxation. Yeah. 100%. And those are things too. Like as hiring a designer, like not a lot of people will think about things like that. Or like they're just looking at the dollar figure on how much that project's going to cost, what they're going to make yeah. off of it, and then they want to get
black and white. Yeah,
they want to get you in and out as fast as possible. Where like I will do my very best to make sure at the end of the day, like what we have on paper is what you actually want. I'll ask you 3 or 4 times: did you review it? Did you go over it? Did you notice this? Did you notice this? Just so I can make sure that you're picking up on things. Because mm-hmm. if you're not looking at your plans, and I call something out, and you didn't realize it was there, then you didn't look at your freaking plans.
Yeah.
So like the only way that you're going to come away with something that you truly love is if you put in a little bit of that effort just to review what's on paper to make sure that it is exactly what you want. And I tell my clients all the time, like, I'd rather you tell me it sucks and be blunt with me so we could go back to work and deliver something that's something you love than just tell me you love it just to say you love it to get it done, but in all reality can't stand it.
Yeah,
because then like not only are you now at a loss with me because you spent money on me and you didn't get what you want, but now you go to build that, then you're at a bigger loss there.
Yep.
So like you're
kicking yourself,
right?
Yep.
I'd rather you tell me that I suck or it sucks or I hate it and go back to the drawing. I take nothing personal. Like you hire me to do this for you, so the only way we come out winning together is if you truly love what I'm delivering. If you're just gonna tell me you love it to shut me up and move on and get it built, then like you're at a loss.
Yeah, big loss.
Yeah. And it's not something you go back and revise. So like,
yeah,
I do my damnest to make sure. And there are, man, there's still clients that come back once they start building. They're like, oh, hey, like we just noticed this. And I'm like, where were you 2 months ago when I told you to review the drawings? Because it was there. That's why it's there now.
Yeah.
Because it was on the drawings.
Yeah. And why I asked you about it 3 times.
And they're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, but we didn't think. And I'm like, well, that's where you went wrong. You didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got, it is, man. To build, remodeling, building it, it's a full-time job in itself.
Everyone says that.
If you're not showing me that you have as much thought and are putting as much effort into it as I am, then it kind of deters the project. Because at that point, like, I feel like you're wasting your money and time on me, because you're not going to get the very best of me, because you're giving me nothing. Zero to yeah. little
they're,
insight.
Yeah, they're giving you nothing. They're putting right. nothing into it.
So the only way for me to come out with something that you truly love is like you have to give something to me, information. Yeah. And you might not have all the answers, but you got to give me some kind of baseline to go off of as far as, you know, what you're looking at, how your family operates, how many kids you have, if you entertain. Like, I've had people I've designed for where they entertain a lot, host a lot of parties,
mm-hmm.
but don't bring that up at all in the conversation.
It's kind of important.
So then we finally look at the drawings and like, oh yeah, you know, we need the kitchen a little bit bigger, the island, because, you know, we entertain a lot. And I'm like, guys, like, we You didn't think that was important, like coming out the gate?
Yeah.
Like,
is that one of the number one things?
Those are the things I think about, especially if you're a family, like hosting holidays, things like that.
Yeah,
like,
nobody likes being in tight spaces. And right. if you like to host, you gotta it's gotta be designed.
But that's part of the house, man.
Yeah.
Like that entertainment, like hosting like that is part of that house.
100%.
So if it is something I get it. If it's only something you do once a year,
different.
You're not gonna put a ton of emphasis on incorporating those certain things in there. But if you find yourself as a family that hosts every holiday, mm-hmm. throws parties, always has your kid's birthday, like, you're gonna want to think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that house, like, when those times come, like, everything's functional. You're not stressing out, you're not looking for extra room anywhere. Like, everybody has its place, everything has its place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being efficient about it. So I mean, that's, if you're going to a professional designer, myself or anybody else, like, those are the things that you want to hone in at, are the things that make your day-to-day interactions a lot easier, your kid's lifestyle easier, your wife's, your lifestyle easier. I mean, it could be as little as where the garbage cans are located and how far you have to take the trash out from the kitchen. But like, if those are the things that...
Yeah, we bitch about our garbage. I bitch about our garbage can location like every day.
So, right. So if yeah, those little things,
I mean,
are what makes
And like, we didn't buy our house, you know what I mean? We didn't build our house, I mean, but...
Right. So there's only so many things you can buy existing.
Right. But like you said, in your case, right. when you're designing something from scratch, like, as something as little as the garbage can, like, it matters. Yeah. It 100% matters.
I tell people, even as little as, like, if you have dogs, and like, say,
what door do you take them out?
If you're in a city, as much you don't have to worry about it, but like, say you live in the countryside, you have a lot of land, and your dogs are out, they get muddy.
Roaming the land, coming
like,
in
the mud room, I always tell the clients, like, listen, if you're a dog person, put like a little dog shower in there. Doesn't have to be big. It's a little like 3x3 section, tiled with up the wall about 3 feet. With a little hand wand, but this way, like, they come right in the mud room, you bathe them off right in there, and you don't have to worry about them tracking all that mud and dirt through the house.
Yeah.
And some people opt out of it, and then, like, they'll build, and then they find out that they're adding the doctor. Like, yeah, you know what? Like, you were right.
Yeah.
And I said,
yeah, once they ruin their couch with the muddy paws.
And I'll never endorse something that's going to spend you an arm and a leg. Like, these are very minor things that you could add in that don't cost a lot of money, but they benefit your day-to-day lifestyle drastically. So, like, I'm not going to, you know, go tell you to add on another 1,500 square feet for a bonus room so you could throw a projector in it.
Right.
Like, you don't necessarily need that.
Yeah, yeah.
But those little things that kind of make a home, that turn it into, you know, something that you truly enjoy using, loving. I mean, dude, there's some... females I work with that, like, their laundry room was like, because they do, if they have a lot of kids, like, that's where they spend
a lot of time. Yeah,
they spent more emphasis on that than the actual kitchen.
Mm.
But it's like, if that's where you find yourself spending a lot of your time and you want to be comfortable while doing it, then it only makes sense
it makes total sense.
In there that would make your life easier.
Yeah,
so it is, man. It's sometimes it's like pulling teeth like to get clients to come away with some of the answers.
It's crazy.
But for the most part, like, I'd be
so into this, man.
A lot of my clientele, like, they do know what they want.
Yeah.
Like, and they just look for me for professional suggestions on certain things that they might not be aware of or certain things that they haven't seen. I will say this to anybody watching the show, stay away from HGTV.
Yeah. Unrealistic.
If you, when it comes to the build, like, it's great for showing you like modern trends and materials and things like that.
Yeah.
But timeline of like, you'll go on HGTV and they have
it done in 2 days.
They flip a kitchen in like 2 days. It's like, no. What they didn't show you is the 70 friggin' people they had in and out of that house for 48 hours straight in order to accomplish that.
Chaos.
Right. Complete chaos.
Yeah.
So like your everyday builder, like, they don't have that time to sit there
and the manpower. Dedicate.
Right.
Yeah, just
and
don't.
Even like, if you're working with a builder and they're out 3 months, right, then that's a good, that means they're busy. That means like, people aren't going to hire shitty contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find a builder who is
busy, it's a good problem.
Like, that means that it's probably more word of mouth than anything, but that means that his quality and his quantity of work, people actually feel that they're getting what they pay for.
Yeah. And the fact that there's people waiting means that
they're
waiting for a reason.
You have people that want to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, listen, if you find a builder that could start on your new construction home in the middle of the summer tomorrow, highly suggest staying away from him.
Because
there's a reason why he has free time.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to throw dirt on any builders or anything that, but that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to do something of that stature and they're able to start immediately, unless they have the manpower, unless they have six crews out and they're doing 15, 20
homes. But probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably only one set crew and they have a couple of their subs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you find a guy that could do that right off the bat, well, there's a reason why he has all that time. And you're going to be the sucker to find out why.
Yeah, unfortunately. So,
it is. Like, it's not buying a car. Like, right. You can't return it after you've driven it 2,000 miles. Like, once you build that house on your lot, like, that's it.
That's it. It's there.
And anything that happens after that is now, sure, you might be able to take the contractor to court or whatever or something like that if he took advantage of you or took money from you that you didn't feel was necessary, whatever the hell it might be. But who the hell wants to go through all that after building?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
No, so if you do, stressful enough.
Right. So do your due diligence in the beginning. Like, just understand, like, where you're at, where you have to be at. Do your due diligence. Look through everything thoroughly. Make sure you're coming away with what you want. So when it is all said and done, there are no regrets. There are no decisions missed. There are no mistakes. Like, you can now rest and enjoy your home. Or enjoy your remodel or your addition, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be a little bit of a due diligence. And I've had clients before that would try to run. I've only ever terminated three contracts in the whole 7 years I've been in business. But all three of those terminations came from a place where the client was more or less just pushing me to get things done. And I'm like, listen, like, if we keep pushing at this, like, either I'm going to miss something or you're going to miss something, and you're going to come away with something that you're not truly getting your money's worth.
Yeah, that's where mistakes happen.
100%. So it is, and it's very hard finding help too.
Yeah.
Like, that's... So if there's any designers or drafters that watch your podcast...
Yeah, we'll reach get out. Let's go. Reach
Anthony
out.
At ViconDesignGroup.com.
There it is.
Send me your resume.
Guy's looking for help. Help this guy out.
It is tough, man. Like, there's... I don't know. It just generational-wise, the perception of... what's rewarded before you even, like, show any kind of promise or any kind of skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had kids come to me and they want $60 an hour right out of school. And I'm like, okay, well, like, show me your resume. They show me the resume. It's everything they did in college.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's great. But that's a professor critiquing.
Yeah, it's not real life.
Every little point. Right. That's none of that's field work. None of that's from a client. Like, so show me what you could actually, if you come out and you're worth $60 an hour, I will pay you $60.
Yeah, but to show me $60 an hour value. But
show me you're worth $60 an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no problem compensating for your time if you're worth that time. But I'm not just going to give you $60 an hour because your mommy told you you're worth $60 an hour.
Right, right.
And, like, that's just the grave reality of life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what you were told.
And if you want, then go do it on your own.
Right.
Right.
But in real life, like, in order to get anything out of it, you have to prove yourself. In some way or another, like, you have to prove yourself. Nobody's just going to ride up to you in a golden chariot with a briefcase full of money and being like, here, you're alive. You're breathing.
Yeah, here you go. Here's your gift.
This is what you get.
Yeah, Anthony, here's your gift.
So it is. And I didn't have anybody with the ability to offer me, you know, a fat stack of cash to start a company or to leverage something with me so it was easier for, like, I had to start everything by myself. Like, so that self-made mentality, I think, kicks in too when I deal with individuals that just kind of, like, want it because they feel they deserve it, where it's like, again, mm-hmm. like, that's, I'm glad you feel that way, prove it,
right?
You know what I mean? I'm glad you feel that you're worth that. If you're worth that, I'll pay you that, but you're gonna prove it first. It might take 3 months, it might take 4 months, but eventually, if you get there and you could show me you're worth that, then by all means, that's what you'll make. But not right off the gate.
No. So if anyone has experience or not, and, you know, reach out. But you know, along those lines, but for real, like, you know, how can people connect with you online? Can they view some of your work? How do they get in contact with you?
Both Facebook and Instagram would just be at Vicon Design Group. My email is anthony@vicondesigngroup.com. And that's really primarily, my website's www.vicondesigngroup.com, but more or less my social media, especially my Instagram, is where I keep everything consistent as far as, like, the newest thing that's going. My website, I probably touch every, like, 4 or 5 months mm-hmm, and update it. Mm-hmm. Even that realistically could probably get revised and get brushed up a little bit. But I'd say my Instagram account is more like a constant running portfolio of some of my best projects, greatest projects, the most common project, whatever it might be. But that's where I
love looking everything at this stuff, man.
I appreciate
it's
that.
It's like, I don't know.
I would love to post like at least three times a week.
But yeah, you probably have so much more.
I go, you know? Oh, there is. Like, there's so much more material that I could post, but it's just, it's the time, man. Like, as you can tell on your buddy Eric, like, there's times, like, I just edit things that go on social media, and I want to rip my monitors, like, right off those things. So, and a lot of it I'll do from my phone, and, like, I use AI every now and then, and, like, ChatGPT to come up with some captions, and so AI has made things a little bit easier, but it's just, like, I go through so many emotions throughout the day, man, where, like,
social media is,
like, the very last thing that, like, pops into my mind.
Yeah, try being in the business.
Right, that's what I was like. That's what I said, man. To like do that, at, like I,
because that's like everything we do. Like I don't want to say it all revolves around social media, but it's kind of almost sort of. Yeah, right. it's like we exist really because of the internet.
Like, honestly, it's like I don't even do this for a living, and I'm thinking like he's gonna have to go back and edit this, cut things out, like look back.
Don't remind me. Don't remind me.
So like I'm sitting here thinking about it, like, and that's like literally the reason why I don't post is, and like there are apps out there that make it easier to put like videos together and things of that nature. But like I said, man, after like with the three kids and the comp, like everything that transpires in a day's work worth of work, like social media, like me posting is the last
thing. Yeah, you're like, I didn't even think about that.
On my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit.
I got to do that. But
like I made a post. Do you remember a hardware bar?
Yeah, of course.
Down Scranton.
Yeah.
So I was working with John Basilea. He's developing. I tell people all the time, like, you're watching the Renaissance of Scranton in real time.
Yeah,
like he is a guy that truly cares about like the way his work appeals to the community, and even just down to the aesthetics of it. Like he just doesn't do it to open up the doors to gain capital. Like he wants it to be something. He wants it to be a talking piece. So he recently had hired me to design a Terra, which is what it's now going to be called. So the upstairs is going to be like an upper scale restaurant. And then the downstairs is kind of still going to be like a club. They're going to have like live bands, comedy shows, things of that nature down there. But he called me to design that. So like that was something that it was one of those designs. Like I took a step back and I was truly proud of. So it coming to the social media post, like all I did was post it and tagged him in it. I think it had over like 290 shares, like 600 likes. And I was like, damn, if you were just on this every day like you said you would be, like this can be consistent feedback.
Yeah,
but I literally posted that, and then it was like a week and a half later I posted something else, and like I knew every day going by, like, dude, you gotta feed off that, you gotta post off that.
Yeah because it snowballs.
But then like, dude, by the end of the day, like I just completely forgot about it. And then like trying to go to the gym at like 10 o'clock at night, like if you're doing that, like your social media is the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah,
like so it is something I do have to get better at. So
but hey, but at least you're there though.
Right.
You know, some people 100%. Like don't do much of anything. So
100%. So, I mean, props to your guy that does all the editing though, man.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I give Eric a lot of credit. And I'm also extremely grateful that I've never edited a single episode of the show ever. And probably never will.
That's definitely something to go to bed saying a prayer at night for.
Yes.
I can't stand it, man. Like that's probably one of the things, like I said, like with my other company, doing the podcast is one of the things I'd want to do.
Yeah.
But one of those things holding me back from a podcast is knowing that, like, you're not going to do the editing by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You need to find somebody.
I knew that from day one. Because, like, from day one, like, I knew, like I literally said to myself, like, I won't even do this if I had to do that.
Right.
And it's not because, like, I don't like it. Well, I've never done it. So, but, right. I mean, I probably wouldn't like it. But I just knew, like, to be able to, again, at the time especially – but it still goes, this still holds true today too. But like back then I was working a full-time job and doing this on the side. So it's like, you know, you have so much time in the day.
Yep.
And now that like I'm doing this full-time, well, now I have to spend all my time doing other stuff, not that, you know? Yeah. And that's what's, you know, again, going back to, I know we touched on it a little bit, maybe we'll end it here, but is building the team. Yep. Like building the team around you. And I think you said it in the beginning, building a team around you with people that are better than you in areas where you suck, to put it bluntly. And I mean, like, that's so important. And I think a lot of people just have a big misconception about that. And again, just think they can either do it all themselves.
Swallow your pride.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, like, that's not my thing. But you know what? That's Eric's thing. Yep. And he's fucking great at it. Yep. That's why he's here. You know? He's obviously a cool guy too. But, right.
But then in return makes OTS that much better.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, everybody contributes a different part, and it's like, it's the reason that the quality is what it is because of all of us. Like I had somebody one time compliment like one of the trailers like we did, like, oh man, you probably spent a lot of time on that. I was like, I was like, we spent a lot of time on that. I said, I was like, you know, I can't even take credit, you know, whatever it was. I was like, I can't, and I won't even take credit for it, because it wasn't just me.
Right.
It was me, Eric, and Jimmy. All three of us. And it was like, you know, Jimmy was like, oh, do this over here. And then Eric's like, ah, how about this? And then, you know, then I put a little spin into it. And like, we all, it's like we all contributed to this, you know, thing. And it's like, hey, we did this and it's fucking great, you know?
But then you get those compliments where people acknowledge that. So like, you kind of notice where like that team starts to make, where like that compliment might not existed if just you were doing it.
Oh, dude, 100%. So because it probably wouldn't have been as good.
Right.
It wouldn't have been. You know why? Because I wouldn't have had the time. Plus, I'm only one brain, right? When you have, you know, a couple other guys or girls, like, and you're working together as a team, it's like you have a different perspective, she has a different perspective, and we all kind of like contribute our own little creative touch to it. And each one of those things, it's like, makes it better, makes it better, makes it better. Whereas if you just did it yourself, it's like, okay, yeah, it's probably pretty good. And maybe you would never know the difference if you didn't have something to compare it to. However, looking at it from the perspective of the way that we do and we've operated, like knowing how good it was with the three of us, like there's almost no way to do it the other way.
Yep.
Like it would never be that good. There's just not enough time and not enough creative eyeballs and brain power on it. You know what I mean?
I
and a lot of people don't think about that stuff. And it's the tiny, 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 tiny details. And I know I don't have to explain this to you because your business, I don't know really anything about, but I just know that
it's all in the details.
I'm a huge detail guy. Yep. Like I pay attention to all those types of things. Like I'm the devil's in the details, man. And it's so true. And if you're not a detail person, especially like in your business or in my business and, you know, a lot of businesses, but like, it's so important, man, paying attention to those details because no one else is. But like when you button up all those little details, people notice. People will be like, yo, that is good. And people recognize it.
There's always just that little bit of, you get that little bit of insight from outside of, you know, your wheelhouse when you bring people together. As long as that same end goal is the mission there and everyone has that same, 95 to 99% of the time, you're going to come out with something that, you know, people are fond of or people love. It's when you get a bunch of people working on something and everybody has a different end result or outcome to where things start to get messy.
Right.
But as long as you can surround yourself, man, with three or four people that are and very like-minded and have that same.
Yeah.
You could. There's that one saying where the guy goes,
you
give me three people and I could take over the
fucking world. I don't need three bad motherfuckers, right?
It's true, dude.
Like, it is.
It's so true. We said it before. You look at all your big, successful people in the world. Like, they got a team of four or five guys.
Yeah, real tight. Or women. Real tight.
They all have the same end goal.
Yeah.
And that is literally just to take over.
Yeah.
And they all hone in on their own expertise, their own knowledge, their own professionalism to get to that point. But everybody brings something to the table. Kind of like what I was saying in the beginning is, you know, you can't sit at my table. You could build your own table and sit at it, but you can't sit. So, like, you have to bring something to that table.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit there and take off of everybody surrounding it. Like, you have to bring something to that table.
You
got to
be at this level, too. Right. You know?
There's got to be an understanding there as far as where your mind's residing, where my mind residing, and where that common goal is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess that's probably entrepreneurship, like as a whole.
Oh, for sure.
It's just having people surrounded by you, whether it's yourself, that me versus me mentality, or having that team that is just, there's one common goal and that's the only goal.
Yeah. And I think too, one other thing, is, and I forget where I don't know if I heard on another podcast or if it was just somewhere on social media, but there was like a clipper saying something about like Steve Jobs, like building the team that he built at Apple. And it's like he hires like the best of the best of the best, because then guess what? That team, they only want to be around A players.
Right.
That's it. It's like that A player, like they don't want to be around B and C players. Right. Like they just don't. So guess what? They're going to become your biggest advocate. They're going to do their best work because they're going to become the biggest advocate for the company. They're going to then recruit the other A players, and they're just going to then build a team around themselves of A players, because who wants to be around non-A players when you're an A player? You know what I mean? It's just a never-ending cycle, which is what you want. It's that cycle of, you know, recruiting within and building that culture and everybody working towards the same goal. And
it's probably the hardest thing.
It is hard.
It's just finding
those. Yeah, but once you find that,
you could
conquer a lot.
You could change the world at that point.
For sure. Yeah. How do you think you did for your first podcast here?
Dude, I love it. I'd love to.
I'm giving it an A.
I'd love to be on here again. It was, like I said, the whole reason that drew me to your podcast was just getting to know the individual behind the mic, but just talking about like real life based things, yeah. like not something that you see on social media.
Yeah, or just not like, oh, hey, let's
for content,
right? Or just or scripting something. Right. Like,
it was just because we didn't like there was no dialogue we went off yeah. of or anything. It's just kind of like having that conversation, like yeah. two people would with a cigar and whiskey or anything yep. of the sort. It's just like mm-hmm. that person to person interaction and just kind of
yeah.
picking at each other to see like what the qualities are, what brought you to the table, things of that nature. So I did. I enjoyed it, man. It was good, very good. A nice place here. It's
thank you.
Very well endowed. I'd definitely like to be on here again.
Cool. Yeah. Just don't pick apart my design and tell me all the flaws with the place. All right. we'll talk about that after.
You're good. We'll get into your new place.
Yeah, that's right. There we go. There we go. All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. This was awesome.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed having you on. All right. Anthony Tallarico on the Stacks in the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
If you want to see more On The Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On The Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.